I was remembering how there was this time when I was a kid and I was playing in the backyard of one of our neighbors. We lived in Richmond. The suburbs there are very hilly. And our neighbor's house, where my friends were, their house was at the bottom of a hill. And we were playing with an old tire that we had found. And we were having fun just taking that tire up the side of the slope and then rolling it down the hill over and over. We carried it up the slope, rolled it down. At the bottom of the slope, the house of our neighbors was at the bottom, and that's what stopped the tire at the bottom of the little roll. And so we rolled the tire down the slope. The tire would bump to a stop against the house, and we do it over and over. On my final turn with rolling the tire, I got the tire up the hill. I gave it a great big start down the hill. It rolled down the hill. I watched it roll down the hill at great speed towards the window of the half-submerged ground floor, and it completely crashed through their den window. Spectacular crash, shattering the entire window. And inside the room of that den was their dad watching TV, and I was horrified. It was happening in slow motion, and I remember hearing their dad yell out, leap from the sofa, yelling something like, "Hey, what is going on? What's going on? Just a bunch of kids rolling a car tire through your window." He came out upset. I burst into tears. I would like to think I was 9 years old. I'm pretty sure I wasn't a teen, but I think I was nine. I burst into tears, and as I recall, their dad felt really bad about it. He wasn't mad at me. He didn't want this Chinese kid standing there crying, blubbering, snot coming out of his nose, crying about this broken window. But after that, I did not want to be around him. I didn't want to see him. If I saw him coming out of the house to get into his car, it's like run, hide. I was too embarrassed to show my face. I just rolled a tire through his window. You know what that's like? That feeling of shame. You just want to move away from the neighborhood. You never want to have to look at his face again. Well, tonight we come to this table. We are the window breakers. Christ is a lawgiver, and we deliberately and repeatedly shattered his law. And we've been caught. But what we are hearing tonight and again is the promise that our sins are forgiven and that he wants us at this table. And so in faith, we come to this table and we believe this. We believe that Jesus enjoys being at this table with a bunch of lawbreakers, window breakers. And Jesus has planned this meal and a million more meals to come with us around the table with him. Jesus doesn't want us to do a time out. Jesus doesn't want us to hide our faces from him. He comes to us. He welcomes us. He wants us right at the table, face to face, enjoying him. Him enjoying us. In this meal, we take bread. It's the body of Christ offered for us, living the life that we should have lived, never breaking any of the commandments. In this meal, we take wine, the blood of Jesus, punished for every window we broke, for every sin that we committed, every commandment we shattered, all of our sin, all of our wanderings. He made full payment. There are no remaining charges. There's no follow-on sentence for us. When you take the supper, you say this: "I am reconciled to God through Jesus." Now, Jesus arranged this. It's a reenactment, the fullness of what the Passover meal should have been. He said, "Do this. Do this in remembrance of what I did. I will feed you as you do this." If you have come to know Jesus this way, he's your reconciliation with God. He's the payment for your sins. He is your righteousness so that you don't have to struggle with the unceasing, impossible burden of maintaining a self-righteousness. If that's who Jesus is for you, come to this table. If you're a member of a gospel-believing church in good standing, we invite you, come, take this supper. If you don't know Jesus this way, if you're exploring, you're considering Christianity, we're very glad that you're with us. We invite you to remain with us. Don't leave. Just sit back. Take in what we're doing. We would love to talk more about it. But don't take the supper. It wouldn't help you. It would be harmful for you. Now let's pray together. Lord, here we come to this table again. And the more we do it, the more it takes great faith. Not so much faith that Jesus, the Son of God, descended from heaven and took on full human nature while remaining fully God. Not just faith to believe that he died. Not just faith to believe that he rose again on the third day and is now seated at the right hand of the Father and will come again to judge the earth. But faith to believe that he loved us, and that's why he did it. He loved us as sinners. He didn't come for us on our best days. He came for us because we had terrible days and a run of terrible weeks and years. Our rebellion, he came and he loved sinners. That takes great faith because we struggle to believe that you could love us. But we do believe it, and this supper tells us that is so. Enable us to receive Christ. Magnify your great love towards us in this supper, we pray, in the bread, in the wine. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night when he was betrayed, he took bread. He gave thanks for it, and when he broke it, he gave it to his disciples. As I, ministering in his name, give this bread to you. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, Jesus also took a cup. And he gave that cup to his disciples. And he said, this cup, it's the new covenant in my blood. It is shed for many to remove sin. Now, we invite those of you who know Jesus to come forward, come on either side of the aisles, on this side or that side. Come, take bread, take wine, and after all have received it, we'll be seated, and then we will all take the bread and the wine together. So now come, receive Christ spiritually. Reading tonight from 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Jesus said, "Take, eat, this is my body." The blood of Christ, Jesus says, "Drink from it, all of you." Let's pray. Lord, many people in the past stumbled when Jesus said we had to have him. We had to feed on him, his body, his blood, in order to live. But we've been convinced again tonight that we are utterly dependent on this man, Jesus, the Son of God, for all in life that we need. For our comfort and for our rejoicing, in our despair and in victory, we need Jesus and we want to follow him and we want to be made more like him. And so we pray, Lord, as you send us out tonight, that you would do your work that you have started and you would be completing it. Give us greater hatred of sin and victory over our sins. Give us joy that the world doesn't have and cannot understand. Give us peace in our hearts, which is not of this world, but comes from our peace with God through Christ. Supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. Thank you for giving us your Son. In his name we pray. Amen.